Good morning, brothers and sisters. Those of you who were here last week, I'm sure, will remember the sermon I gave, and you can presume that it was quite contentious, had a lot of interesting reactions this past week, many positive, many negative. That kind of goes with the territory. But I wanted to follow up on that homily to help those who are struggling with the church's teachings and how to apply it in their personal lives or in their political choices. One of the arguments that Catholics were taught many generations ago, I don't know if it was in the 50s, 60s, 70s, it was around there, was this idea that you can vote your conscience even if it is against church teaching. That you have a moral obligation, in fact, to follow your conscience despite what the church or anyone else tells you. I don't know if you've heard that argument before, but many were taught this, and many for decades and decades have been following this idea, this premise. When they make a major decision, they say, well, I'm following my conscience, therefore I'm justified. That's their claim. I'm following my conscience, therefore I'm justified. Now, I don't reject the church's teachings, but my conscience tells me I have to vote this way or I have to make this decision. The first thing we need to do in trying to clarify a lot of the errors in regards to this idea is to define conscience. And it's not easy to define, because for the last 2,000 years, there hasn't been one consistent definition. In the Old Testament, the word seems to be only used one time. It's not exactly very clear. In the New Testament, however, we have, I think, around 30 uses of the word conscience. This gives us the ability to extrapolate some form of definition. So, insofar as we can tell from the teachings of Christ in the Word of God, the conscience, and I think all of us know this by experience, is that thing that makes you feel guilty when you've done something wrong. That's certainly one of the things that a conscience does. So when you've committed a sin, if you've failed in some way and you feel guilt or shame about it, that's your conscience, right? It's pricking you. It's telling you you've made a mistake. But when you do something good and something right, that's also your conscience praising you. Hey, you did the right thing. Be happy. Be at peace. So the human conscience has this ability, on a certain level, to not so much make a moral judgment, because the conscience is not necessarily of the intellect. It's more of a response, an emotional response to what you believe is right or wrong. That's what the conscience is. You could call it an emotional sense or a moral sense. So I feel that this is right. I feel that this is wrong. Now, you can only make decisions based on your conscience once you've learned to reflect upon your conscience. And what do I mean by this? You see, the conscience is a reaction to something. It's a reaction. I feel good about that. I feel bad about that. I feel guilty. I feel encouraged. So it's kind of a reaction to things. Well, you can't use that to make a decision if it happens after the fact, unless, looking back over the years of your life, you recognize a pattern of reactions. You begin to see within yourself, oh, I noticed when I made these decisions, I felt good, and when I made those decisions, I felt bad. So using that knowledge, having reflected upon my experience, I now make decisions based on what I believe to be true about my conscientious reaction to things. I know this is a little technical. Please just try to follow along. This is really important stuff. So that's how the conscience works. We can only use it to make decisions once we've reflected upon it, since it's a reaction. So this is what we learn from the scriptures. Now, in the Old Testament, the Israelites did not believe in a conscience personally. Do you know why? They had the law of God. They didn't have to trust their feelings. They didn't have to discern one way or the other what was right and what was wrong. They had all of the laws of God, you know, hundreds and hundreds of them, clearly stating exactly what they were supposed to do in every situation. It seems to be that among them, they thought consciences were only necessary for the pagans since they didn't have God's law. But in Christ, what happens? We're set free from all of that legal system, aren't we? All of those laws of minutia that dictate every action. I mean, that doesn't mean we abandon the Ten Commandments, but the controlling law of ancient Israel. We don't have to follow that anymore. And so it was introduced back into the church, this idea of conscience. But it was integrated with the mindset of the Israelites. So how did this happen? Well, you see, because of original sin, all of us know that our intellects are darkened, our wills are weakened, meaning we can't trust ourselves when we make decisions or when we try to understand something on our own. We just can't. Because look how often we make the wrong decision or we don't recognize the truth. So, since I can't trust myself because of original sin, can I trust my conscience? Should I? My conscience is within me. If it's my reaction, my response to what I believe to be morally good or morally evil, can I trust that? Not necessarily. It doesn't matter how consistent it may be in my past. I should never act according to my personal conscience on that alone. This is why the church and the scriptures teach us that the conscience must be formed, at least for the Christian, according to faith. That is the moral obligation of every believer. The conscience must be formed by faith. Now, what is faith? Faith is the teaching of Jesus Christ and his church. That's it. So how do I form my conscience according to my faith? Not my personal beliefs, what I think is right and what I think is wrong, that's irrelevant. It's what Jesus says is right and wrong. It's what his church says is right and wrong. So I don't need to figure out on my own what is true. I need to take the teachings of Christ in the church and study them. And then compare that to my conscience. So when I perform an act, and I feel good about it, and yet the church says that was a serious sin, clearly there's a discrepancy here. There's an error on some part. And if I'm going to claim to be Catholic, what must I do? I must correct my conscience, because it's wrong. My conscience says I did well, and yet the church says I did badly. So therefore, I have to respond appropriately. I have to respond as if I believe the faith, and therefore, next time, not act according to my conscience. I need to act according to the faith until my conscience is formed in that faith response. And that's what will happen. Whenever we make proper decisions, the conscience begins to mold into what we believe to be true. So, that being the case, we can't use as an excuse the idea, well, this is just my conscience. My conscience is telling me to do this or to do that. That's not an excuse. Now, St. Thomas Aquinas gave a lot of good teachings on the conscience. You can read them if you want to. Most of you aren't going to be interested. I'm just going to try to give you a point, at least, to help. He talked about what we call invincible ignorance in regards to a person's conscience. And this is important. So let's say someone makes a decision, and to the best of their knowledge, this was absolutely the right decision following their conscience. And they are totally ignorant of any other possible idea or that they're wrong. In fact, they did everything perfectly in regards to following their conscience and trying to learn the truth. So let's say they followed their conscience in that way and yet objectively still made the wrong decision. He says there's no guilt there because they were invincibly ignorant, meaning their ignorance was not their fault. And because their ignorance wasn't their fault and they did follow their conscience and make the best decision that they could, God doesn't hold them accountable. There's no guilt, even though they made the wrong decision. Now that's consoling to those who are invincibly ignorant. But Thomas Aquinas also clarifies that Catholics are almost never invincibly ignorant because we have the faith. It's really only applied to pagans, non-believers, those who grow up in very bad situations. I mean, children can often be invincibly ignorant. People with various illnesses or stages of sickness could be invincibly ignorant. Sure, there are many things that could lead to that. But the normal Catholic who has the faith is never invincibly ignorant. There's no excuse. All you have to do is study it, look it up. Especially in this day and age with the internet, you don't even have to read a book. I hope anyone who hears this realizes that they can't just use that excuse to defend their, again, political choices or affiliations or personal choices or affiliations. Because in the end, God will judge them not strictly according to their conscience, but as a Catholic, how well their conscience was conformed to the teachings of Christ Jesus, his Son, and his Church. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.